te vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Jnanam ajnata tatvaya yo dadyat sat pathe mritam kripalor dina natasya devas tasyana grinati tasyana grinate jnanam agyata tatvaya yo dadyat sat pathe mritam kripalor dina natasya devastasyana grinate. Please chant. Kripa Lord Dinanatasya Devastasya Nagrinate Jnanam Agyata Tatvaya Yo Dadyat Sat Pate Mritam Kripa Lord Dinanatasya Devastasyana grinnate jnanam agyata tatvaya yo dadyat satpate mritam kripalord dinanathasya devastasyana grinnate. Ladies. Yo dadyat sat pate mritam kripalord dinanatasya devastasyana grinnate jnanam agyata tatvaya yo dadyat sat pate mritam kripalord dinanatasya devastasyana grinnate jnanam agyata tatvaya yo dadyat sat pate mritam kripalord dinanatasya devastasyana grinnate. Anyone else? Jnanam, knowledge. Agyata tatvaya, to those who are unaware of the truth. Ya, one who. Dadyat, imparts. Sat pate, on the path of truth. Amritam, immortality. Kripalo, kind. Dina natasya, protector of the poor. Deva, the demigods. Tasya, to him. Anugrinate, give blessings. I would ask you all to repeat the narration of Dhruva Maharaj. Is sublime knowledge. For the attainment of immortality. Persons unaware of the absolute truth can be led to the path of truth. Those who, out of transcendental kindness, take on the responsibility of becoming master protectors of the poor living entities, automatically gain the interest and blessings of the demigods. Prabhupada has written an extensive purport to this verse. I would ask you all to please kindly hear with rapt attention to the words of our spiritual master. Jnanam agyata means knowledge which is unknown almost throughout the entire world. No one knows actually what is the absolute truth. Materialists are very proud of their advancement, education, in philosophical speculation, and in scientific knowledge. But no one actually knows what the absolute truth is. The great sage Maitreya therefore recommends that to enlighten people about the absolute truth, tattva, devotees should preach the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the entire world. Srila Vyasadeva especially compiled this great literature of scientific knowledge because people are completely unaware of the absolute truth. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, it is said that Vyasadeva, the learned sage, compiled this great Bhagavat Purana just to stop the ignorance of the mass of people. Because people do not know the absolute truth, this Srimad Bhagavatam was specifically compiled by Vyasadeva under the instruction of Narada. Generally, even though people are interested in understanding the truth, they take to speculation and reach at most the conception of impersonal Brahman. But very few men actually know the personality of Godhead. Recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam is specifically meant to enlighten people about the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead. Although there is no fundamental difference between impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the supreme person, factual immortality cannot be obtained unless and until one attains the stage of associating with the Supreme Person. Devotional service, which leads to the association of the Supreme Lord, is actual immortality. Pure devotees, out of compassion for the fallen souls, are kripalu, very kind to people in general. They distribute this Bhagavat knowledge all over the world. A kind-hearted devotee is called Dinanatha, protector of the poor, ignorant mass of people. Lord Krishna is also known as Dinanatha or Dinabandhu, the master or actual friend of the poor living entities. And his pure devotee also takes the same position of Dinanatha. The Dinanathas or devotees of Lord Krishna who preach the path of devotional service, become the favorites of the demigods. Generally, people are interested in worshipping the demigods, especially Lord Shiva, in order to obtain material benefits. But a pure devotee who engages in preaching the principles of devotional service, as prescribed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, does not need to separately worship the demigods. The demigods are automatically pleased with him and offer all the blessings within their capacity. As by watering the root of a tree, the leaves and branches are automatically watered, so by executing pure devotional service to the Lord, the branches, twigs, and leaves of the Lord, known as demigods, are automatically pleased with the devotee and they offer all benedictions. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrindachanat Api Suni Chena Tarare Vasa Hishnuna Amani Nama Anadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Eva Kevalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata. Jnanam, knowledge, Knowledge is in two divisions. If you study Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita purports, there are two branches of knowledge, material and spiritual. Spiritual knowledge is also known as transcendental knowledge, and that is where Krishna begins his instructions in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, at the point where Arjuna surrenders. And Krishna begins by explaining the difference between matter and spirit, the difference between the temporary energy and the eternal energy, and the difference between the body and the soul. Then the next level of knowledge is confidential knowledge, knowledge of the supersoul, Paramatma. And then there is the most confidential knowledge, which is the knowledge of the devotional service rendered by the living entity to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, agyata tattvaya, to those who are unaware of the truth. So, especially in the age of Kali, the age of quarrel, hypocrisy, when people are manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagya hi upadruta, when they are misguided, unlucky, lazy, and most of all, disturbed in the mind, the people of Kali Yuga are not interested in spiritual transcendental knowledge, because the age of Kali, everyone is infatuated with their body. And we see that very prevalent here in Los Angeles. Everyone, 99.99%, the people, they're interested in the body. Even they may take up yoga and they think that they are spiritual, but the real interest is how to make the body better, how to make it more healthy. Not for spiritual realization, not to become detached, but how to enjoy the body, how to live longer so you can enjoy better sense gratification. So very few people in the age of Kali are actually interested in this knowledge, confidential knowledge, and most confidential knowledge. And that is because of the age, the nature of the age. It's also because of a slaughterhouse education mentality, which everyone, whether they go to private school or public school, it's a slaughterhouse education. Why? Because they don't discuss these preliminary discussions as we see in the Bhagavad Gita, which is the ABCs of transcendental knowledge. They don't even get the ABCs. All they're getting is how to enjoy the body better, or a little more advanced, how to achieve some kind of mental state where you are supposedly happy and peaceful temporarily. So bad education, and then everywhere they turn, everywhere they look, wherever they go, simply reinforces the bodily concept of life. Where is that billboard? Where is that television commercial? Where is that radio soundbite that is telling the people, you're not your body, you're not your mind? You're never going to hear that on the radio or on the television or in a magazine. You're not going to see that. All you're going to see is you are your body, you are your mind, enjoy. This is Kali Yuga. So people in Kali Yuga especially are ignorant of the truth. They think sense gratification is the truth. Even if they go to so-called temple, church, or mosque, they're not going to get this kind of knowledge. They're going to get some kind of religiosity which will also reinforce, you're the body, you're the mind, you're meant to enjoy. Therefore, practically speaking, anyone who wants spiritual knowledge has to come in the association of Hare Krishna devotees, because they will give him one of Srila Prabhupada's books. And as soon as you open one of Srila Prabhupada's books, you're going to be confronted with, you're not your body, you're not your mind, you're not the enjoyer, You're the eternal servant. Where are they going to see on television, radio, etc., that you're the servant? They don't want to hear that in Kali Yuga, that you're the servant. That's the last thing they want to hear. They want to hear, I'm the enjoyer. So coming to Krishna consciousness, coming to Srila Prabhupada's books, is a very sobering experience. Because immediately it is directly opposed to everything that they are accustomed to in the material world. Because you're learning, buddy, I'm sorry, you're not the enjoyer. You're the servant. Then, Kripalo Dina Natasya. The devotees who preach Krishna consciousness, they do so out of compassion. Because why else do devotees go out there and tolerate all the onslaughts that the atheistic, materialistic society imposes on preachers of Krishna consciousness? It's a struggle. Just think how many thousands of dollars this temple has had to shell out just so that the devotees can continue to distribute books in the LA airport. What does that tell you? That tells you, as Prabhupada mentions in First Canto, that there is a section of society that is directly opposed to the distribution of God consciousness. So the only reason we have to spend so much money is because there are certain individuals here in Los Angeles that do not want the dissemination of transcendental literature, and they'll do whatever they can to stop it. And therefore, the devotees are going out distributing books or preaching, or everything we do in our movement is simply to, for the benefit of the conditioned souls. This whole movement that Prabhupada set up, this whole ISKCON society, is simply geared towards how to get the fallen, as it says here in the translation, right? The poor living entities. It was mentioned several times in the purport. Certainly, poor living entities is not referring to their economic situation. No, it's referring to poor in transcendental knowledge. Prabhupada even mentioned that when one time he was asked, so would you want to set up your preaching facility in the poorer sections of the society? And Prabhupada said, no, the rich also are committing crimes. They also need. So here the reference poor living entities has nothing to do with their material situation, whether they're rich or poor, but poor in terms of transcendental knowledge. So therefore, we preach to everyone, young and old, rich or poor, man or woman, black or white, any, doesn't matter. Because the compassionate, what's the word? Kripalo, the kind preacher, simply does not see the material body. As is taught by Bhagavad Gita, the devotee sees this may be an individual soul in a certain kind of dress, man's dress, woman's dress, American dress, African dress. We're talking about the body. The devotee overlooks the external dress and realizes, no, here is another living entity trapped like a bird in a cage. Trapped as a human being in Kali Yuga without any hope of escaping the nasty cycle, vicious cycle, unrelenting cycle of birth and death. There is no escape. Everyone is going to have to be judged according to their karma. So the devotee feels very compassionate. How can I save this poor conditioned soul from having to enter again the cycle of birth and death? Because the devotee is convinced the only way to escape the cycle of birth and death is to surrender to Krishna. Daivihiesha gunamayi momamaya duratyaya mameviye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Krishna confirms it. There is no escaping the stringent, insurmountable, material, illusory energy. It is only by surrender to Krishna. And therefore the devotee is convinced of this fact, that unless this person comes to Krishna consciousness, they are going to suffer life after life. And the devotee is compassionate. Apmauptam yena sarvatya. In the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the true yogi can see the true equality of all living beings, both in their happiness and distress. So the devotee understands this and feels compassionate for these suffering living entities, doesn't want to see this. So the devotee, out of great compassion, undertakes so much trials and tribulations, austerities, penances, just to save the fallen conditioned souls. And that's what our movement is. Our movement is how to save the fallen conditioned souls. And we do that by distributing Krishna consciousness in the form of books, prasadam, festivals, temples. Every aspect of our movement is simply how to engage the conditioned soul in the activities of Krishna consciousness. And as a result, as was mentioned in Prabhupada's purport, that the devotees who do this, who are compassionate and kind to the poor living entities and go out and distribute Krishna consciousness, the demigods are very, very pleased and they give their blessings. What to speak of the demigods, Krishna and the disciplic succession also give their blessings to the devotees who are doing the work. As Prabhupada used to always say, if Krishna is maintaining the elephant with hundreds of pounds of food every day, do you not think that Krishna will maintain his devotee who was going out and doing Krishna's work? Krishna's work is the work of a devotee. Krishna's work, the whole purpose of the material creation, is to reclaim the fallen conditioned souls. Yes, you could say there are two purposes for the material creation. For those who are insistent, and for those who are adamant, the material world is there for their so-called enjoyment. Yes, they don't want to surrender to Krishna. They simply want to enjoy the facilities of the material world. Yes, the material world is there. But the ultimate purpose, the real design behind the material world created by Krishna, is to teach the conditioned soul, this is not where you belong. You belong back with me, Krishna, in my spiritual abode. The devotees know this. The devotees know this is the ultimate plan, the whole ultimate purpose of this material cosmic manifestation. The devotees, fully convinced of this, know what is their duty. And it is confirmed by the spiritual master. The spiritual master also is not independent. He repeats what Krishna is preaching. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there's no one more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one. What is it that makes the pure devotee so dear to Krishna? Because he is preaching Krishna's message. And Krishna's message is surrender. And that's what the devotee is trying to give the conditioned souls. How to surrender to Krishna in so many different ways, as outlined by the founder Acharya. Has given us so many different ways how to engage the fallen conditioned souls to surrender to Krishna. And therefore, for the devotee that is fully engaged in this process of reclaiming the fallen conditioned souls, all blessings are on that person. So we have free will. It's up to us to take it or leave it. And those who are intelligent, a word to the wise should be sufficient. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, any questions? Anyone who wants to stir up the conversation? I see the hand of Prema Sankirtanadas, another Dinanath.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice class. Can you give some example from scriptures how demigods gave blessings to his devotees, to pure devotees? This is some example, maybe from Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Right now, off the top of my head, I can't think, but if something comes later, I'll say something. But right now, off the top of my head, I can't. Okay, give her the microphone.
I think the example in Srila Prabhupada that his endeavors were all blessed by Krishna and he removed obstacles to create the worldwide movement for chanting Hare Krishna.
The demigods.
Okay, give the microphone to Bhrigupati. Boy, this devotee gets a real workout.
Oh, well, I'll take a shot at it. In this chapter, earlier in this chapter, I believe it was, that Dhruva Maharaj got benedictions from Kuvera because he respected the request to stop fighting. He was killing all the Yakshas, which are descendants of Kuvera. And, you know, Kuvera requested that Dhruva Maharaj cease and desist. Or maybe it was Swayambhuva Manu that requested him to cease and desist. But anyway, Kuvera was
Swayambhuva Manu asked him, and Kuvera did give blessings.
Yeah, so Kuvera gave blessings. He was pleased by his, you know, that he acted like a devotee. He got off the bodily platform, and he acted on the spiritual platform, so Kuvera gave blessings. And another example that comes to my mind is Narada Muni was preaching to the sons of
Prachini Barhishat, the
Prachetas. Prachini Barhishat, right, the Prachetas. And so they were following his instructions very nicely. And then at one point Lord Shiva came because he was pleased.
That's correct.
He was pleased by their cooperation to advance in spiritual life. And he came and he blessed them and he gave them a lot of instructions that helped them advance further.
Yes, the Shiva Gita. Yes. Archita and then Jutta Karma.
Yeah, there are many examples from the Mahabharata. The Pandavas were involved in so many. Lord Shiva was pleased with Arjuna, gave him his weapon. Dharma personified was pleased with them. There are so many examples of the demigods being pleased with pure devotees and giving benedictions. Many, many from the Mahabharata.
And Jutta Karma Das?
Yeah, I think they're Pritya Maharaj. I think he was a Shaktivesha avatar, but yeah, he got blessings, you know, from all, you know, demigods.
You're talking about when he giving up his body or at birth?
Birth.
At birth.
Yeah.
Okay. Certainly, when he was leaving his body, all the great saints and sages came to that event. Prem Sankirtan, are you satisfied with this or do you need more?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do we have any other points for discussion? Okay, Jutta Karma has another point.
What does it mean to see living entities equally in terms of their happiness and distress, according to the Bhagavad Gita verse you're quoting?
Thank you for this nice question. The devotee understands. It says in chapter 5, nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. I just this morning answered a question like this from somebody who sent me an email. The living entity has free will, minute independence. And the living entity gets to choose to act in terms of the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, or surrender to Krishna. Krishna does not interfere with the choice of the living entity. So the living entity makes his or her choice, and depending on that choice, has to receive the reaction. Because that's the way this material world is designed. You touch fire, you must get burnt. Whether you do it knowingly or unknowingly, the laws of nature are strict. Infallible justice. I believe there was one book published by the North American BBT. So Krishna has nothing to do with the choice. Or as in the 11th canto, we see sometimes, at least more than once, this analogy given. If you bite yourself, if you bite your own tongue, whose fault is it? You bit your own tongue. You have nobody to blame but yourself. So the living entity learns or should accept that I'm suffering or I'm enjoying. I have nobody to blame but myself. I can't blame God. I made the choice. So the devotee understands the living entities, some are enjoying, so-called. Some are suffering, so-called, by the choices they made. So the devotee is, that's the living entity's choice. Krishna has nothing to do with it. So the devotee sees whether they're enjoying or suffering, they're still in the material world, they're still in the cycle of birth and death. The devotee sees the only way I'm going to really help this individual is to give that person Krishna consciousness so that they can get out of this cycle of birth and death. The devotee doesn't care happiness or distress. Bhrigupati or any Prem Sankirtan, when they're distributing books in the airport, they don't care if the person's in a good mood or a bad mood, it has lots of money, or they approach every conditioned soul because they know this happiness and distress is ephemeral. The devotee knows actually they're suffering. Suffering because they're going to take birth again. And the only real thing that I can do for someone, the real welfare work, is to get this person to stop the cycle of repeated birth and death. And therefore, the devotee approaches and gives them one of Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, no escape. Does that satisfy you? Archita Das.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a wonderful class and nice discussion so far. This does not mean, however, that we become callous, because this is the accusation that's been leveled at the individual devotees and ISKCON in general, that you guys are hiding behind philosophy and people are bleeding and you're not doing anything about it. People are abused within your organization and you don't do anything about it. You don't care. So we have to be a little bit careful. Prabhupada said, of course, the perfect example. Even when he was dealing with strangers, like that guy who came to him in Laguna Beach. He had been a bus driver, and he hit somebody, and the person died. And the guy was in total mental distress. He was totally stressed out. So Prabhupada didn't just tell him, look, you're not the body, chant Hare Krishna, go back to God. He sat the man down, he listened to all the details of the case, and then he said to the guy, based on what you've told me, it was not your fault. You know, so in other words, we have to still deal with what's in front of us. We have to deal with it compassionately. We have to deal with it with understanding. Not just that we know the philosophy, you're not this body, chant Hare Krishna, go back to Godhead. Otherwise, you know, this is what we're accused of by Gurukulas especially. You guys are very good at rising early in the morning, chanting Hare Krishna, going to the program, but when people present you with a practical problem, you just say chant Hare Krishna. You know, they can't deal with that.
Jai. Okay, this devotee has a question.
How do we have the right mentality of, for example, we're supposed to liberate everybody in the land, and let's say we're not successful with that. I mean, even Lord Chaitanya didn't bring back everybody when he was here. And
No, that's not true.
Well, he liberated everybody when he chanted Hare Krishna. That's true, but I mean...
But the universe refilled with fallen conditioned souls.
Right.
Okay.
So any devotee would want everybody back home in the spiritual world and has that as a burning desire.
Yes.
So in our endeavors, we're really putting one drop of water in the desert. How are we supposed to function in those little activities yet still desire the big grand desire of wanting everybody back in the spiritual world? How do we function so that we hopefully can liberate everybody in the land and keep them liberated? How are we supposed to deal with that?
Very simple. You do your part as much as you can, and then make sure that you make disciples and tell your disciples, please do like I'm doing. Because I'm doing like my spiritual master is doing, as Srila Prabhupada is doing. So you tell others, go out and distribute Krishna consciousness. What else can you do? You do as much as you can. Save yourself. Don't sacrifice your own self in the name of saving someone else. Make sure you're chanting 16 rounds. Make sure you're following the regulative principles. Make sure you're taking prasadam. And yes, spare time. After that, you can spend all your time saving the fallen conditioned souls. And when it's time for you to go, make sure that you have enough of a downline of people that you have trained that they will follow your footsteps and also do like you, confronting the conditioned souls and giving Krishna consciousness. After that, if you do that, you're wonderful. You'll be blessed by the demigods and Krishna. What else? Rigupati?
Well, you know, just responding to that question a little bit further. He mentioned to start off with how when Lord Chaitanya was here a little over 500 years ago, everybody got liberation and the universe filled up again. You mentioned that point. So, you know, is Lord Chaitanya reciprocating with the devotees? You can't liberate everybody. I mean, only Krishna can liberate everybody. So all we could do is just try to be very sincere. And when Krishna is pleased by our sincere endeavors, then he'll liberate everybody. And that's my understanding of the way it works. It's, you know, we're not the doer. You can't liberate even one person. We can't. But Krishna can liberate everybody, and he could do it, you know, at the next moment. So it's just he's reciprocating with the devotees. And if the devotees, if you have a really, that's why that was, I think, the key element in Prabhupada's success. He had such a sincere and intense desire to be an instrument, you know, for the predecessor acharyas to execute the instruction of a spiritual master. And so Krishna reciprocated. Lord Chaitanya reciprocated. And that's, the reason this Hare Krishna movement spread as much as it did. So in the same way, if we have that very sincere desire to, you know, liberate people, then Lord Chaitanya and the predecessor acharyas will reciprocate with that, and, you know, people will get liberated.
Very good. I would like to go on with more, but the clock says we are over time, and I must respect the rules of the game, the rules of engagement. Thank you very much. All glories to the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Yes.
One more minute, you know, if Krishna misses.